It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Last week, a report reviewing the 2018 census was released and criticised the way last year's census was conducted. Despite last year's survey being the first to be able to be completed online, the census saw the lowest response rate from the public in decades. This meant that Statistics New Zealand had to plug the results with data from other government organisations. As well as this criticism, Chief Government Statistician Liz McPherson resigned last week, starting a lot of discussion on the topic of the census. I spoke to James Shaw, who is also the Minister for Statistics, about the debacle. We also discussed the recent grant made for clean green transport, as well as prisoner voting rights. Here is James. Last week, there was a lot of discussion about the 2018 census, with its online focus and low response rate, and Liz McPherson's resignation. Now, this talk arose from the report of recommendations for the next census. Can you outline what these recommendations are?
Well, there were 16 recommendations, so I won't go through all of them. But broadly speaking, what they were saying is that there was nothing fundamentally wrong with the overall plan for the census. And so they recommend retaining the online component as well as the use of what we call administrative data. But they did say that there were problems with the execution of that plan, particularly when it came to how the paper forms were delivered, or in this case, not delivered. What they're saying is actually we need to pay more attention to the field campaign than what happened in 2018. The number of the recommendation talked about the overall governance and management of the census operation, and that included the idea that you would have external people who are not part of the government, but who either represent particularly difficult communities to get to, or you know, some of the kind of international best practice, who can challenge the people who are running the operation about their assumptions and make sure that they're really testing everything as they go.
Why do you think that the online focus of the census didn't work as well as expected?
Well, there were two things. So first of all, the online component actually worked better than anyone had imagined. The problem was that Stats over-relied on the online census. So what happened was, with people who weren't filling it out online, rather than leaving a paper census pack, they would try and say, well, could you go online and do it? But these people had already, I guess, made the choice that, you know, they weren't going to go online, or, you know, they had other things that were preventing them from going online. And so, you know, what they were saying is that actually what needed to happen in the 2018 census was, when someone hadn't filled it out online, was to go around to the house and give them a paper pack with all the questions and ask them to fill it out on paper and then come and collect it, sort of, which is a sort of mimicking how the census has historically happened. So they basically sort of thought they were overconfident in their ability to use the online tool, and it was very, very successful. But of course, there was still, you know, a fairly large group of people who just weren't accessing it via the internet.
So now, how does the government move forward on this? How do they work to ensure that this sort of result won't occur again, and will be done differently next time?
Well, there's a few things. So first of all, obviously, we're now looking for a new government statistician, a chief executive for Stats NZ. And obviously, I'll be working very closely with that person to make sure that they take the lead on implementing those recommendations. We've also got, over the course of the next 6 to 8 months or so, the development of the business plan for the next census in 2023, because the censuses work on a five-year cycle. And basically, no sooner have you finished the last one than you're planning for the next one. And so as we develop the business case for the 2023 census, I'll be paying particularly close attention to make sure that those recommendations are coming through in that business plan.
So let's move on to the new grants for clean green transport. Could you explain what this funding covers?
Well, I mean, it's a contestable fund, which means that different organisations and people can apply to it, and the idea is that the projects that are seen to have the best cost-benefit ratio will win out. Its orientation is generally towards things like electric vehicle charging infrastructure. So one of the barriers that we've now got is because we do have an exponential growth in the uptake of electric vehicles, which is fantastic. We now have enough charging points to cover something like 90% of the state highway network, so you'll never run out of juice. But the problem is that we don't have enough charging points now. So having gotten coverage to most of the country, what people who drive electric cars are now finding is that when they do get to a charging point, there's someone who's already on it. And so we now need to basically expand that charging network to make sure that people aren't queuing to have to recharge their batteries. So those are the kinds of things, but there's also kind of, you know, I guess other bright ideas that may come forward that will help to kind of build the infrastructure for the future.
Now, this is just sort of me thinking about the way in the future, but that sort of idea that people have to wait for charging stations. So is the idea that one day when a lot more people are driving electric vehicles, there would be almost car park systems for people to have lots of charging ports? Is that what the thought is?
One of the really interesting things about EVs, of course, is that you don't have to go to a petrol forecourt. Now, companies like Zed have installed EV chargers in most of their forecourts. So if you go to a Zed petrol station, you can also recharge a battery, which is great. But you can also stick them anywhere else. And so I've opened EV charging stations in supermarket forecourts, for example. And I remember I did this in Levin, and I was standing, and it's right next to State Highway 1. So you get all of that through traffic. There was I think two charging points next to each other, but it was in a car park that would have had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of spaces available. And so you can imagine a future, perhaps, where, you know, you go down to the supermarket on a Saturday and you plug your car in while you're getting the groceries, and by the time you've got out of the shopping centre, you've fully recharged your car. And so there's that kind of possibility.
So do you think with the new grants going into new charging ports, do you think that's another way to encourage more people to buy clean green vehicles, along with the government's recently announced incentive to offer discounts for zero emission vehicles?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what we know, we've done quite a lot of market research, is that obviously, you know, people think about the price of an electric vehicle, although what most people don't realise now is that actually there are plenty of EVs that are roughly at the same price as a combustion engine vehicle. But one of the things that really stops people is they've got this thought that they're going to run out of battery and that they're not going to be able to, to recharge. And so people having the confidence that there's the infrastructure to support them is one of the things that's currently getting in the way of people making the switch. So if we can take that anxiety away, then more people will buy electric cars, which is great.
And so just finally, I'd like to talk about prisoner voting. Obviously, this was a big topic last week. But what is the Green Party position on prisoner voting rights?
Well, the thing about universal human rights is that they're universal and that they apply to humans. And so our view is that because they are human rights, they should be afforded to all humans. That's just the nature of them. The national government took some of those rights away when they passed a bill in the last government taking voting rights away from prisoners. The Waitangi Tribunal has found, not the Waitangi Tribunal, Law Society found that that's not just a breach of human rights, but discriminatory towards Māori. And so there was an announcement last week that, you know, the government will consider restoring some or all of those. But there's a bit of a journey to go there because it looks like there probably isn't a parliamentary majority for full restoration of that right.
And with that being the case, I suppose the idea last week that people were wanting it to happen before the next election is unlikely. Is that right?
I think there's only about, well, there's less than 18 months until the next election. Law takes a bit of time to get through, and the process for starting the election, there are a number of kind of legal dates that occur well before election day, and I suspect that Parliament simply, you know, even if we could secure a parliamentary majority, would find it difficult to get through that in time.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.